Amazon 5-Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor James Shapiro of Columbia University. His new book is The Playbook, a story of theater democracy and the making of a culture war. Sinclair Lewis, one of the great novelists of the early part of the 20th century, who's made a lot of money from Hollywood and made Hollywood a lot of money by 1935, writes a book very quickly in Vermont, which we know today is It Can't Happen Here. At the time, however, it was raw politics, and Hollywood snapped it up. Jim reports $200,000, which is the equivalent of $4 million today. That's a big number for a screenplay that's not written. It's a book. And the book is about a fascist takeover America. I don't have to fill it in. We've seen lots of movies about that since. At the time, it was unusual. But what we learn is Hollywood couldn't handle it. Why not, Jim?
The previous two novels that Sinclair Lewis had made had been mega hits for Hollywood, had pulled in millions of dollars. So that investment, from the perspective of the Hollywood folk, was a very minimal one, considering what they expected the return on their investment to be. And they hired the best screenwriter they could to produce what would have been the great 1930s film about the rise of and threat of a fascist takeover in America. And Sinclair Lewis was married to one of the great journalists of his day who had interviewed Hitler, who came back to the United States, wrote a book about it. He's probably a little jealous of his wife and jumped the gun, and quickly in Barnard, Vermont, wrote in that summer this extraordinary novel. And setting in rural Vermont, the story of what happens when America elects a president who is going to strip rights from Jews and women and blacks and others and run America as a dictatorship. This was in the background of Mussolini and Hitler, much discussed at the time. And no novelist, whatever you think of him as a stylist, no novelist had his finger or her finger on the pulse of America as well as Sinclair Lewis did. The cast was hired. Men were growing beards for their roles. This was going to happen. And all of a sudden, MGM pulled the plug. And it wasn't until a number of decades later that it became clear why they decided not to do so. And Sinclair Lewis at the time just didn't know. He thought that those in charge of censoring Hollywood films were behind this. But it's a complicated story in which a leading Jewish rabbi in Philadelphia with connections to Hollywood begged them not to do this because he felt this drawing attention to concentration camps and the like would be bad for Jews, which I think is a very mistaken attitude. Also, MGM didn't want to lose sales in Nazi Germany. They were one of the few studios still selling films to Germany after Hitler took power. So Sinclair Lewis, frustrated that his film had been pulled, received a call from Hallie Flanagan and her staff saying, could you turn it into a screen, turn your screenplay and novel into a theater script? And we'll not only stage it in New York City on Broadway, but we'll stage it in a way that will open across America in 20 cities on the same day, challenging what the movies did to us. We're going to show that we can do what movies do, open across the country simultaneously. And Sinclair Lewis said, you're on. He didn't ask for very much money. He was not happy that the film had not been made. And one of the great triumphs of the Federal Theater, actors and directors and scene designers went to work, translators went to work trying to get this into Spanish and Yiddish. And on that same day, across the United States, with slight changes for regional variation in the setting and in the staging of this play, this great warning about the dangers of fascism was brought to hundreds of thousands of Americans.
A detail about the production. Working with Sinclair Lewis, you quickly discover you cannot work with Sinclair Lewis. Okay. Everybody should have known that this is a novelist. This is not a playwright. This is not somebody who works in teams. Isn't somebody who goes to lunch? Good heavens. And they knew that, but they still took the risk.
Allie Flanagan did not have a big ego, and she knew how to deal with the many men around her that did. What she did was put both Sinclair Lewis and a scriptwriter she brought in different hotel rooms on different floors in New York City. And she would race between floors with their drafts, since at this point they were no longer speaking to each other, take it to the typist, come back, and then repeat and rinse and repeat until the script was in hand. The poor translators trying to get a Spanish script to the actors in Tampa, Florida, I think had a week to let the actors learn their roles for this play. But it worked, and it opened everywhere. People seeing the Yiddish production in New York City fainted at the concentration camp scenes. People, for the first time in America, really understood the threat of fascism. And I think it had a profound effect on American attitudes towards Hitler, towards Mussolini, and after Pearl Harbor into entering the war.
It was changed into three acts, 27 people. They had to limit the number of people because the book has many more. And it's a 3.5-hour production, Jim's reporting. What doesn't come through immediately, and I read it as a younger person, is that it's very funny. It has moments of great humor. I don't know whether that made it onto the stage because, as you say, They tended towards the melodramatic. Is that where it still is, Jim?
I think there really are comic moments. For instance, when the Gestapo-like figures come in and they see a copy of a Charles Dickens novel and start asking if this is propaganda. I think those moments made it into the stage production. But I think the Federal Theater drifted towards melodrama in part because they were terrified that local authorities might take offense. And in fact, they had to pull the production in New Orleans because Huey Long had been a model for Sinclair Lewis. He had recently died. But there were proto-fascists in America, and there was the risk of pushback. And in fact, in Detroit, they had designed a beautiful poster for this production. I included a copy of it in my book, and it looked too much like Hitler in the picture. And the word came out of Washington from Hallie Flanagan's staff: destroy that completely and don't go there, because we're worried about Chicago's mayor. We're worried about local authorities pulling the plug on this, and that would have been a disaster. They skated between censorship and the hard truth-telling, and I think you're right, they did steer towards melodrama as a way of avoiding political pushback on this.
Still, it was extremely well-attended. It made a lot of money for the Federal Theater, although I don't think that was their writ. They weren't supposed to be profitable, were they, Jim?
They were accused of taking money out of the pocket of commercial theater.
Yeah.
And they were accused of costing too much. So whatever the Federal Theater did, as far as their opponents were concerned, was wrong. They weren't charging much. It might have cost a quarter or at most 50 cents to see this production. And it was so successful across the country. Sinclair Lewis himself played in a production of it. It was just a great American moment.
I said earlier that Macbeth and now this play have in it the vulnerability. We're going to meet the vulnerability when we come back, because fascism in America also exists in the Congress at that moment. The book is The Playbook. James Shapiro is the author. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh.